Hey there, dear listener. Would you like to support this show and make it stronger and better and bigger than ever before? Well, then you can support us on our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. This silly piece of daily business. Coming up on TMS, Fruit Quiz.
Ninja Turtle robbed a motel in Salt Lake City.
Redbox is out.
Oh, next year we'll be wrapped in plastic.
Drake is bigger and better than the Beatles.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Igor.
This Halloween, when you stock up on Pepsi and Doritos, you'll find coupons for savings on Hershey's candies. It's the perfect recipe for a...
All right, little beaver. You hide under the billiard table and keep your ears open. Good morning, stream. Good morning,
stream. Good morning, stream. Good morning, stream. Good morning, stream. Good morning, stream. Mountain grown for richer flavor. This is The Morning Stream. Good morning, stream. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream, where we showcase live flub-ups from old 40s radio dramas.
Which, when you think about it, I mean, those were all recorded live. Those were live radio dramas.
Yeah. They didn't have editing later. Well, I mean, they did eventually, but some of this early stuff, sure. No way. Yeah.
Yeah, which there you go. I mean, to have that few numbers of flub-ups.
Yeah.
And screw ups and stuff like that. Actually, you got to give them a hand, right? Got to applaud those guys.
It's kind of impressive, you know.
Oh, table. Okay, well, fine. Hey, you know, whatever. I make 18 mistakes worse than that before breakfast.
Well, their bigger mistake is how racist that show is, because it is super, well, super yes. racist all the time. It's the white man saving everybody, and that poor little Indian kid, which was really just a white kid doing a bad Indian impression. And
Haji, what kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
Oh, that's a whole different.
That
was Haji from Johnny Quest, but that's totally not Haji from Johnny Quest.
No, but it may as well have been.
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
Oh, good Lord. So bad. All right. Well, saddle up, little cowboy, little beaver. We're going to do a show here. We got a podcast to record.
Yes.
And look, I just want to throw out a quick sign that podcasting apparently is back. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
In pog form.
Nobody told me that it had gone away, but apparently it's back. And the reason it's back is a lot of people are freaking out about the fact that This American Life now has its first offshoot show. That's not a NPR show. It's not a PRI show. It is a This American Life show called Cereal. Right. Not the kind you eat, on the Saturday morning in your PJs. Mm-hmm. Well, you smell like a waffle. Not that. We're talking about like a podcast, straight up new show.
A series.
A series. There you go. And they tell one, like 12 episodes to tell one big true story. It's really good so far. I love it, of course. I love all their stuff. But it is interesting that they are banking on the fact that they're not taking this to the radio. They're taking this straight to podcast. It's kind of a huge deal.
That is really cool. That's a huge kind of a deal.
It's a big deal. What kind of deal?
That thing's going to live on forever, isn't it?
It totally is. So, and there's been a whole bunch of press lately with podcasting again. And then that whole patent troll thing with Adam Carolla settled, but
sort of. Now the guy sort can of. Go now after going other after, stuff. So, yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like they just changed targets.
They did was go,
oh, he wants to fight back? Well, shit. We'll back out of that one, but then we'll go after somebody we think won't fight back.
Exactly.
You know, asses is who they are.
Asses.
Yeah.
We'll all fight you. We will fight you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would say this to them.
You lose, American asshole.
I would say that to him.
Exactly. That's exactly what we would say to them.
Who knew that this show...
You're not going to call the cops?
...would give us so much entertainment. Who knew that Bloodsport contained so much good stuff?
Not going to call the cops. What was the do you have the clip that I translated into Beach U Porter? Oh, what was it? Beach U Turbo Report or Turbo Porter?
Oh yeah. What was that?
The line is, "Why did you become a reporter?" But I translated it during Film Sack.
Yeah.
as something else here. Hold on.
Awesome movie. No, let's see. Whitaker and Dudes. Driving me crazy. Is this it?
You guys are driving me crazy.
No, that's not it.
You're not even trying to understand what this means to us, are you?
What is there to understand about a bunch of guys who have to prove themselves by beating each other's brains out?
Why did you become a reporter?
Why beat you, Cutler Reporter?
That was a fine moment.
It's like the Scorpions supposedly learning "Rocky Like a Hurricane" phonetically because they couldn't speak English.
Oh, "Rocky Like a Hurricane"? Is that true?
No, I think it's an urban legend.
Oh, but, I love that urban legend though. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, have you never heard that before?
No, it's the first time I've ever heard that, but that makes total sense to me because they had really thick German accents. Like,
Like
they were barely willing to learn a couple of English words. And so when they would talk, it would be like, ja, jawohl, nein, schnell. I mean, it was the full 9 yards. 9 yards right. Spelled N-I-E-N yards, get it? 9 yards, like no yards, get it? Anyway. So, hey, we're back. We got a show to do. And later, we'll have Justin, we'll have Bill and things on the show. So if that's why you tuned in, I guess go ahead and fast forward now to that point.
Yeah.
Because the rest of this is just...
Let us know how it is, because we haven't heard it yet.
The rest of this is bull crap. Except this. I'm going to play a little game with Brian. I like playing games with Brian.
Yay! I like this, too.
I like video games. I like trivia games. I like all kinds of games with Brian. Today's thing with Brian is a quiz, and you do not get to look at this. I only get to look at it. All right? And I'm going to ask you... If you, Brian, have the knowledge to accurately classify fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
Because you know how people are like, tomato's a vegetable. No, it's not.
All right. Tomato's a fruit.
Tomato's a fruit. And then, no, it can't be. It's in my lasagna. How can that be a fruit? And then, you know, there's always this thing where you don't know what's what. So the age-old tomato debate now turns into what does Brian know about his fruit and veggies? Okay. Number one, Brian.
All right. Okay, start with tomato.
What is a banana? Now you got to answer from one of these four options.
Oh, okay.
A berry, a flower, a nut, or a pome.
Oh, a pome, like a palm, like a... P-O-M-E. Okay, so berry, I'm sorry, so berry, nut, what were the other two?
Berry, palm? Nut, flower, and pome.
Pome. Berry, nut, flower, pome. I remember hearing this. Bananas are technically berries. Because they they grow in clusters, right?
Isn't that the deal? Let's see. Hold on.
Berry.
Okay, we're gonna assume that means that you said it. Well, we don't know. We're gonna check it and see what it says. Ding ding. Oh, you know what? Let's go ahead and let's pull out the current geek stuff here.
No, not that.
All right, there we go. You got it correct. It is a berry. Banana is botanically a berry.
Banana berry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Coconut nut, berry, tuber, or drupe.
Oh, I don't even get the same four every time.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Nut, berry, tuber, or droop.
Yeah. Droop is D-R-U-P, a.k.a. like stone fruit is what it says, not clarify at all for me.
I know it's not a nut. A coconut is not a nut. Yeah. Let's say, because I've never heard of a droop, let's say a droop.
Okay. So wait.
Because I think they wouldn't throw that in there if it was.
You don't. Well, man, Joy's got nuts. What did Almond Joy have then? Oh, I had almonds in it. Oh, that was a terrible question. All right, you said droop.
Yeah.
That is correct. Hold on. Nicely done. Yeah. Just like mangoes and dates, coconuts are droops, a type of indigestant fruit.
Indigestant.
No, I'm sorry. Indihiscent fruit. I don't know that word. Indihiscent. Indihiscent. Indihiscent.
Where do you keep that? Indihiscent.
Hey, keep it indihiscent. All right, next up. What are olives? Nuts, berries, legumes, or a droop?
Olives. I can't even think of how olives grow. They grow in little jars with little pimento.
Yeah, they grow at the store on a shelf.
Right. Pickled pimentos inside. I'm going to think... I'm sorry. Give me my choices again. I know berry was one of them.
Nut, berry, legume, or droop. Droop.
Berry, legume, or droop.
You're on a roll.
I'm going to go berry on that one.
All right, berry. You are wrong. Yeah.
Berry.
Yeah. It is not a berry. Olives are also droops. like a coconut. They're just smaller. Huh. Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah.
Wow.
They certainly
coconuts
don't have
the olives in the same. That's weird. In the same family.
That's really weird. All right, here you go. What is a strawberry? A pome, a droop, a achene, A-C-H-E-N-E, a sheen, is it maybe?
A sheen, a keen, a
or
cheen?
Or a pepo, or is it peepo, P-E-P-O?
P-E-P-O.
Pome, achene, peepo, or droop. This is the worst like superhero wow. team up of all times. Listen to these terrible names. where's Papa Let's Smurf say, to screw to help clean this up? Yes.
Palm was one of the choices?
Pome.
Pome?
P-O-M-E.
P-O-M-M-E, right?
Nope, just P-O-M-E.
P-O-M-E. Oh, okay.
Pome. I don't know how you say it.
I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go pome.
Let's find out if it's right. Is it right? No, it is strawberries pepo? Are not berries. Oh, no, I chose pome. So strawberries are not berries. Botanically, they are pepos, a type of accessory
that
fruit.
Is a pepo. Okay.
They screwed up their wording here, though, because pome and it wasn't. It says they're not berries, but up top it's pome that I chose. So whatever.
Right. But no, I chose pome, so I was wrong.
Yeah, so it's a pepo. It's a pepo.
Peepo.
All right, what is a walnut? Is it a nut, a seed, a berry, or a droop?
Ooh, okay, let's see here. Berry or droop? obviously it's not going to be a nut because that's what you want people to think if you're asking that question.
I had a friend in high school, we called him Walnut. Do you want to know why?
Really? Yeah why?
Because one time I think this is how this went. My memory is a little saucy on this. But in junior high, I want to remember that because we had jock checks. I've told you about those before where the coach would come and check for your jock. They don't do that anymore, but they used to. Because, nowadays, not so cool to have a teacher looking at your junk, as it turns out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy had a B-O-N-E-R. I say that as if the people listening are children and can't spell. And so he turned around and pushed up against the wall. So we called him Walnut for the rest of the year. Anyway.
Oh, no. That was like how he hit it. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm like, buddy, that's not going to work. Coach is going to ask what's wrong. What are you doing there? Hey, Walnut, get over here.
What kind of wood is in this wall?
Walnut to me. All right, so it's nut, seed, berry, and droop.
I know it's not a nut. I don't think it's a seed because you can't take a walnut and plant it and grow more walnuts.
That's true.
The other choices were...
berry and droop.
Berry and droop. Let's say... Let's go droop on that one because it seems...
All right, let's find out if you're right.
Similar.
Walnuts are commonly referred to as actual seeds with a hard coating found inside large droop seeds. However, walnut fruit on the internet and you'll see a bunch of green things. Where does it say what
so
it is?
So what's the answer?
Oh, they're actually seeds, it says.
They really are seeds. So could you technically plant a walnut?
Does not say. I know it doesn't grow anything if you put it against a gym wall in seventh grade. I can tell you that.
Interesting.
What is a mushroom?
The only thing walnuts are good for, by the way, is chocolate chip cookies. Oh, that's the only thing walnuts are good for.
That's the truth. All right, here's a hard one for you. We're going to go two more of these.
Okay.
What is a mushroom? Flower, fungus, tree, or berry?
Well, I've always thought it was a fungus.
I would have said fungus, too.
And I see no reason to stop now. I'm still going to say it's a fungus.
All right, we're going to find out
that's probably correct. The obvious answer, which means it's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh. Mushrooms are a type of fungus. They are not biologically plants, and they can't be classified as vegetables. So there you go.
Okay.
Next up.
I guess that's for the pizza-eating crowd. Like, I am having vegetables on my pizza. I'm having mushroom.
That's right. Damn it. All right, how about this one? What is a sweet potato?
Oh, it's
potato.
Well, let's hear what the choices are.
They are tuber, taproot, corm, C-O-R-M. Captain, the corm has attacked the ship.
I finally have names in mind for my orc mage that I'm going to be leveling to 90.
Corm is a great name.
Corm.
C-O-R-M. Or rhizome. R-H-I-Z-O-M-E.
Oh, shoot.
Those were good in the mall when I'd go to the pizza thing. I get a rhizome. Anyway, so tuber, taproot, corm, rhizome.
My initial thought was tuber, but I think it may be a taproot.
Let's find out.
I know potatoes are tubers.
Let's find out. Taproot, you say?
I'm saying taproot.
Okay. It is a tuber.
It is a tuber. Darn. Yeah. Okay.
That's all right.
They were trying to pull a fast one on me there.
You remember that arcade game? Was it called Tuber or Tubing? Tuber?
Tubin. It was Tubin with an apostrophe.
Tubin. That's right.
T-O-O-B-I-N?
Yeah, and you could two-player vertical go down the river game. It's great.
Yep.
All right. Here you
don't
go.
Don't bounce into that. Don't watch out for that tin can with a sharp edge.
Final deal. You ready for this one? What is a ginger root besides disgusting? What is ginger root? Is it tuber, taproot, corm, or rhizome?
Rhizome.
Corm or rhizome. It's what Jackie Chan is trying to protect.
Is it?
And you just can't substitute a bonsai root for a ginger root.
Well, you can for a minute, but then that guy
figured it out. The legend of Drunken Master. Or have we forgotten already?
No, we have forgotten.
Is ginger root like the fake out ginger root thing?
No, it was a ginger root, wasn't it? And he ever had a. You see, he was supposed to give him something for fertility.
Right.
And instead, he gave him like a carrot.
Bonsai root.
Or a bonsai root, right. And the guy ate it and got all sick.
Oh, no, it was like a turnip or something. That's right, yeah.
And the guy got sick.
So let's see. So tuber, taproot.
Here's a Peter Piper playing the flute.
From? Was from? What was the word last year?
Rhizome. Corm and rhizome.
Corm and rhizome. Rhizome.
Yeah. Corm and rhizome.
Rhizome. Rhizome.
Rhizome. It's the pleasure planet, rhizome.
Let's go. Boy, I always thought it was a root, so I was going to say taproot. Let's stick with taproot because I've been faked out of choosing what I didn't think it is before, so.
All right, so we're going to say taproot. Before I do that, I think you could make an entire four-word Star Trek story out of these results.
You totally could.
You could say the USS Tuber, or the USS Taproot has been attacked by Corm and his legion of rhizomes, but there's someone on the YouTuber. No, I can't think of a Tuber one. All right, here we go. Let's see. Taproot, you're saying. Taproot.
Yeah, taproot.
You are incorrect. Yeah, it is a rhizome, which means massive roots.
Oh, okay.
Now they tell us.
Sure. Well, why couldn't they have told me that before?
Brian, thank you for participating in today's fruity acquisition of ridiculous stupidness.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. I like that. We should do this more often, occasionally. Not all the time, but sometimes, you know? All right. We're going to call Daryl. Speaking of four-letter Star Trek episodes, we're going to get Daryl on the phone, let him have his way with us. And here is his theme. Oh, look, everybody, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Lantern Forge, now only $7.99 on Steam, just this week. Lantern Forge is an indie-developed sandbox survival and adventure RPG. Check it out on Steam today.
Good idea. Daryl Lee there.
Oh, I missed your whole Corm story made-up stuff.
Oh, because the lag hadn't gotten to you yet. Don't worry, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good.
Oh, okay.
But you have to admit, Corm's a pretty good Star Trek name.
Yeah.
Corm, sure.
Yeah, Corm is a guy you'd have to deal with. Like,
or the thing you'd have to beat up on the planet.
I got a story. Here's a Corm story. It's a story where Captain Picard, the show opens with a slow panning shot of the Enterprise in space. It's doing warp factor 5 or something. And Picard says, "Captain's log, stardate blah, blah, blah. We're on our way to a diplomatic mission with the freaking whoever. And I'm meeting with Ambassador Corm. Sounds like a very intimidating fellow, but we're ready," or whatever, okay? Then they get there and they find out Corm is a hot lady. Right? Can you see it happening?
Totally can see it.
And then there's like a little...
You're Corm?
Oh, wow. And then Worf's like...
conflicted.
There is great honor in your name, Worf would say. And yeah, I got the whole episode. In fact, we should do this sometime. We should have a contest where listeners send in... All right, here's the idea.
All right.
Listeners send in, let's say, four words, made up or otherwise, that we have to improv into a short Star Trek story on the show. And you send in four, and in fact, even make this even better. Send me three sets of four words, one for each of us, one set for each of us people, me, Daryl, and Brian. And on the show, we will improv a story. I don't mean we have to act it out especially or anything, but we will come up with a storyline based on those four words you give us. Okay, listeners? TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where you send
that.
We'll play play with it and we'll see what happens. All right, Daryl, gosh dang it, it's Star Trek time. It's time to stump you with a Star Trek question, and we'll see if we stump you or not. I think this week you're doing good. Yesterday's all you've had, but you did well yesterday. So we'll see if you do well today. This is one of those straight up, usual old, straight up ass questions. Okay, there's nothing weird here. We don't have to act anything out. In the Next Generation episode, Home Soil, or as freaking Iceworm wrote it, Homey Soil. Oh, jeez. The Enterprise visits a terraforming operation on Valeria 3. Biosphere designer Lucia Kim gives them a tour of the operation. She explains that the phase three of the transforming project or terraforming project involves water. She also says all they wait Ron the planet. What is, Brian, help me there. She says all the wait Ron the
all
planet.
All the water on the planet.
Oh, all the... All the weight, like Ron.
Just a space in the wrong place.
It just looks like, well, it looks like a weight, Ron. All the weight, Ron, on the planet is subsurface. So don't drink the weight, Ron, is what I was, that's my advice.
I thought you were pulling my leg. Then you can.
I really couldn't tell. What is that? Weight, Ron. All the weight, Ron, on the planet. Anyway, the water on the planet is subsurface. She says the water has a very large content of what? A, iron, B, salt, C, copper, D, magnesium. Iron, salt, copper, magnesium. Those are your options.
What's in the water?
There Ron is, apparently.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Time to, I think, our last visit to Ron's bag, or Ron, to Daniel's bag, Daniel's sack. I mean, we got other stuff, but I feel like it's all like, it's a little repetitive, so I feel like it ought to be one of these Ritter sports.
I'm in agreement with you.
And,
you have a preference?
Well, I just feel like joggert is funny sounding, and we should do that. Mm-hmm.
This is what they would enjoy in the game Skyrim.
Yes, indeed.
This is a joggert.
I mean, Noosper Flakes is pretty good, too, I got to admit. But
Noosper Flakes. Actually, it's got a graham cracker inside.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right, well, we'll do the joggert. Mit Eschenheinder joggert for Ling Long. I'm sure I said that right. I'm sure of it.
I'm quite certain, yeah.
Yeah. Go home and check on that, everybody. I'm sure I did that just right. Sure. All right. Let's tear that open. Big thanks, Daniel, by the way. This was an awesome, awesome selection. I think I've enjoyed his bag as much as anyone else's. Let's see here.
Mike Wood says, best spelling error ever today.
Yeah. Nice job, dude. Good job.
Oh, I tried to... You know how you try to break it before you open it?
Yeah.
That was a bad idea on this one.
I always say break it before you open it. Oh, yeah, this is a mess. Mm-hmm. Oh, yo, but look at that in there. That layer of joggert, I assume that's what that is.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yummy joggert.
All right, here we go. Oh. Hmm. These have been my favorite, dude.
Mm-hmm.
These Ritter sport things. Oh, wow. Got a little tang to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like yogurt would.
Right.
Or, mm-hmm. So I guess it is joggert is yogurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, they just say yogurt.
Oh, it's powdery.
Different languages?
Yeah, powdery yogurt.
Yeah.
We're like flaky, astronauts or something.
Delicious flaky yogurt.
Yeah, that's
you
pretty good.
You could mix this with fizzy water and make yogurt soda.
Ugh.
You know what the Germans say when I say, why don't you just say yogurt then? You know what they said?
Shut up, fool!
That's what they said. all right, that was yummy. Mm-hmm. I will eat that whole thing throughout my day. I'm trying to cut back on this kind of crap.
Eat the pieces that are going to fall on my mouse.
Nicole sent us that big, like, hey, candy from when you were born box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I keep eating out of that, dude. I got to stop it.
Well, we also have a package from... This one came in from... Who sent this? There's no return address on it. That's scary. But I know Daryl has also received this because he sent me a photo of it.
Oh, what does it look like?
It's a big padded envelope, looks like this.
Oh.
And inside it is a Ziploc bag that has things that have been divided. And it came from Kurt Ashberger. Ochberger. Ochberger.
Ochberger?
Yep.
I like eating there on Saturdays. They have good fries. I don't know that I got that, but I will check. It's an envelope, you say. All right.
It is a padded manila envelope.
I will track that down. Daryl, while we track that down, why don't you celebrate a birthday in Star Trek world?
Okay, that would be John Lopriano, I guess is how you say it. He's 54 today. He played Obrist in the Voyager episode Year of Hell.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a memorable one. Mm. I don't remember at all, actually, at all. But I don't know what
that guy was. Right now. John Lopriano.
Yeah. Is he he's Italian fella? Is he? Probably.
I don't know.
I'm watching the American
actor and writer, had appearances on the soap opera Search for Tomorrow and As the World Turns, and is best known for his role as Cord Roberts on the ABC soap opera One Life to Live.
No, soapy guy. Got it.
Yep. Lots of soaps.
Sounds Italian, but I'm watching The Sopranos now. Everything sounds Italian to me. My gosh, those guys. Some of those guys are so, like, you know, bada bing, freaking just the hand movement. Like, though, it's such a cartoon sometimes of that, but somehow authentic. It's weird.
Have you looked at a picture of Michael Imperioli right now? Like, what he looks like?
Michael Imperioli?
Yeah, he plays Christopher.
Oh, yeah, no, he looks... he's like a... I'll tell you what he looks like. He's a cross between... I can't think of his name all of a sudden. The actor. Ah, crap. Who played Hook?
Right.
Freaking Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman. He looks like Dustin Hoffman mixed with like something else. It's weird. His gray, he's getting gray hair. He's older than us, you know.
Yeah.
That's weird because he would have been... I mean, this ran until 2007. I'd argue that guy looked like he was in his 20s the entire run of that
show.
He
totally did, yeah. And then
suddenly bloomed into an older man, like out of nowhere. And yeah, he's like born in 64 or something, 63, 60-something. I think he's Daryl's age or something.
Ooh, jeez.
I'm so old.
My Imperiolis are itching right now. I don't know what's going on with that.
That's because we need an answer to our Star Trek question.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 66. He's 48. And he is... oh, look at him. You know, for a guy that was one of the most philandering dudes on that show, married since 95. Just like a straight on, like no bunch of Hollywood divorces. Like he's sticking to it. It's like the opposite. The opposite of his normal. Oh, look at this picture of him. Oh, Brian, I got to share this with you.
All right.
Hold on. That's cool. That's Christopher.
Would you put it
in Skype? Yeah, I'll put it in Skype. That's Christopher in a way you've not seen him. There you go. Look at that. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's a good look for him right there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's a good actor. All of them are good. Whatever, man. That show's great. I'm having a ball, but man, the Italiano coming out of every hole in that thing. It's just like, man. All right, Daryl, back to life, back to reality.
Yeah.
Who wrote that song? I can't remember.
That was Soul to Soul.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Back to however life. Do you want me? However do you need me?
However do you need me?
However do you burn me?
I always think it's TLC doing that for some reason. Mm-mm. Don't know why I think that, but whatever. All right. That's not the point. What's the point? The point is you're done with birthdays. Happy birthday to that guy who had nothing to do with the tangent we just took. Let's get back to your question. And your question involved iron, salt, copper, or magnesium. Which of those do you think was part of the planet's subsurface water thing deal?
Iron, copper, salt, magnesium, and something else.
Nope, that's it. That's four. My mother-in-law thinks magnesium fixes everything, by the way. I don't know if you ever... Do you have in-laws that are like... You'll say, what's the matter? Oh, I've hurt my ankle. Oh, you know all you need for that is to drink a gallon of mercury or whatever.
Exactly, right. Go eat 13 milligrams of zinc.
Yeah.
Just 13.
Yeah,
but just no 13. More, no less.
No more, no less. You eat more than that, you'll just get the worst flu of your life. And if you eat less than that, monkeys will steal your eyes. Yeah, I don't understand it. And like her thing was silver for a long time. And
silver
still is, but now she's more quiet about it. And I'll tell you why she's more quiet about it. Because there was this thing for a while that if you were taking whatever amounts of silver, you were curing everything. And it was the great unspoken, the biotech industry does not want you to know about the therapeutic qualities of silver kind of bullshit. And so she read all these things about it and started taking silver all the time and was always recommending that we take silver. So like if somebody had a stomach ache, just take silver, right?
That seems crazy.
So then I found... I agree. So then I found... Yeah. I'm going to take a note, make a note here. See, too much silver. I got to find this guy. Yep, there he is.
Oh, God.
When you... Because it's a thing you can take.
YouTube video or something?
No, it's even worse. You can take this as a supplement. And this is what you'll end up with. And this is real. This isn't fake or makeup. Mm-hmm. That guy in your Skype, I'll put it in the chat.
Is what happens when you eat too much silver?
Too much silver. You turn into basically
gosh.
You basically turn into Papa Smurf.
Violet, you're turning Violet.
And there's a whole like thing about it. And don't do it. Don't take a bunch of silver. It's why people have seen like blue lobsters or blue fish, just because they got a hold of some weird silver deposits. You'll turn freaking blue. And it doesn't do any of the things you think it does. So don't take silver. All right? Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he does look like Papa Smurf.
That guy should shave, go naked, mm-hmm. and fight, or and go check out different worlds for Galactus to eat.
Or just shave, strip naked, except for a pair of cut-off jean shorts, and be Tobias Funke.
Even better. Yeah, he looks like Blue Man Group, bad makeup mm-hmm. guy. Right. Anyway, it's gross, and don't do it. All right. What are we doing here? Yeah, silver poisoning. You can read about this on Wikipedia. Zally just posted it. whatever. And she still thinks this is stuff. So whenever I go to see her, I'm like, hey, how's everybody doing? Then I pull up my phone with a picture of that guy in it and just say, hey, remember this guy? All right, let's keep going. All right.
Nice.
Daryl, back to your thing. What do you say? What do you want?
Okay. Magnesium. I think Volkswagen engines, aren't they made out of magnesium? If you light them on fire, they burn super bright, blind you.
Maybe.
Volkswagen engines? Really? They're like made out of something different than...
They're like a thermite engine? What's going on?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, aren't they?
I didn't know that.
I had no idea that they were made from anything different from other car engines. Yeah.
They're made of Farfignugan.
You take them out and in the...
Farfignugan, very flammable.
Mm-hmm.
Take them out on the beach and put a flare on them and light them on fire and they burn like the sun.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Someone's taking their Volkswagen engine out of their car and putting it in the fire on the beach?
Can we get some corroboration on this?
Yeah, something, there's videos and everything.
Yeah, that's really weird. Anyway, all right.
Okay. And then iron rusts.
Yeah. Does it?
And I hear it does.
Okay.
Copper. Vulcan blood is copper based.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. Every one of these has something new to learn.
That's why it's the certain color it is, right?
That's why it's green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. All right.
Like crab blood. So Vulcans have crab blood and crabs have Vulcan blood.
Okay. Whoa. Crabs bleed green?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Or either that or
where have I been?
It might be blue.
I have seen a lot of nature documentaries. This has never come up once. In fact, I think I've seen freaking The Deadliest Catch. I've seen those things get torn apart, and I don't remember any weird blue blood. That's now I'm all freaked out. All right. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, salt. Salt is the answer to this question.
Oh. Oh, it is?
Yes.
Were you aware of this? Have you been? Have you known this entire time, or has this just come to you?
Yeah, I figured this the entire time.
Great, great.
I knew it.
All right. Well, milking the clock for all it's worth. Here we go. Let's find out if he's right.
Maybe I'm wrong, and it's not the answer.
Maybe you're right. I
think
don't know.
It is.
Let's find out. Oh,
congratulations.
Okay.
You're a winner.
All right. Salt says the water has large amounts of salt. Later, people in the terraforming group begin to get killed. A new life form is discovered. This life form is protecting its home from the transformers. Sorry, terraformers. I can't stop saying transformers.
I think you keep saying terraformer.
I think you found the wrong word. This is kind of similar to The Devil in the Dark. Also, the dude running the terraforming operation played General Analto Alexis Gogo. Anatole Alexis Gogo in 6 James Bond movies. This new life form is tries to kill Data. Here's a clip of him discussing it with Geordi or Gordy. Here you go.
Away team, now! What is happening? I'm going to beam him out of there.
Bridge, this is Lieutenant Commander Data. No need to beam me up, sir. The situation is under control.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Well, what happened? Did you do anything which might have set it off?
No, but the firing program was dynamic.
The firing in what way?
It adjusted to my tactics. It tracked with me, anticipating. A fixed program could not have done that.
Are you suggesting that someone was controlling the aiming and firing sequence?
That is exactly how it appeared. There was a mind working against me.
What did you do to this laser drill? A year's work destroyed.
I had no choice.
I'm going to save that drill part.
What did you do to this laser drill?
Are you gonna go to caps?
What kind of drill?
What kind of a drill?
Daryl, good job and way to go. You did it, and that means you win. So tomorrow you get to try it again. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you now play a game with us? What is it called? What are we doing?
Okay, Star Trek Spider or Actual Spider.
Okay, here's your theme.
I'll swallow your soul.
All right, go ahead.
Johnson Jumper.
Johnson Jumper.
Johnson Jumper. Mm. They had so many spiders on Star Trek that we can have a category of this.
Johnson mm-hmm. Jumper.
Wow. Johnson Jumper. That does not sound like something they'd say in Star Trek.
No. And it's also strange. It's strange for either thing, but I think it's more likely
down to the
spider.
Surface. There was a Johnson Jumper that
was a Johnson Jumper.
Jumped on me from a chair.
Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor, not an arachnophobist. All right. So we're going to say spider. It's got to be.
Yeah, a real live spider.
Okay. This is one of the largest and most commonly encountered jumping spiders of Western North America, and its bite is painful but not dangerous.
Good. I cut him off because that was boring. I was so bored right then.
It bites you in the face.
Yeah, in the face. Right in the face.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
I am cooperating, Wade. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by, hey guys, my girlfriend recently entered a contest on sockittome.com for a sock design. Her hand-drawn design got picked out of 5,000 participants and is in the top 30 for a public vote. Voting ends on the 10th of October. Look for the cute prairie dog one. That's sockittome.com.
Sockittome.com. I actually want to look at that sock.
I do too. I've never even heard of this thing.
Sockittome.com. Oops. Oh, yeah, look at this.
Spelled that wrong.
Don't look up I'm wearing a sock in my wiener.com.
That's redhotchilipeppers.com.
It's just nothing but.
So these are all the different designs.
Yeah, these are cool.
Oh, design a sock contest. That's a big thing right there on the main page.
Yeah.
And let's see all the different socks that are available to vote on. There's like a
one
that looks like a meat, you know, like meat cuts, toilet paper and plungers.
These are adorable.
The sun puking on a cloud.
Like you want.
And a couple of prairie dogs. I'm going to vote for the prairie dog one.
Voting for the prairie dogs.
Which I do like that one.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun little idea. All right, Sockittome, you won. You won me over. I hope you don't get a case of argyria, which is the inappropriate exposure to silver compounds. That's what that blue
that's
guy.
That's what the blue guy's called?
Yeah.
Or blue guy has?
Yeah, wow. It's not good. Okay. All right.
Ironic name. Is that a Johnson Jumper?
He sent us a picture of it?
He sent us a picture.
In what, Twitter?
In the Tadpool.
Let me take a look here.
It's the most recent link.
Oh, gosh. Boing, really? Is that the spider?
I don't know.
Oh!
You got up to the point where he jumps.
Not a fan of that at all. That is not what I like at all.
That's the last thing that John Hurt remembers from Alien. Look like that.
I don't like that. As my thing heals, by the way. Totally healing up.
Oh, good.
It's got a little blemishy looking thing right now, but it's going away. Wasn't not that big, that spider, I can tell you that. Let's see here. Woman dressed as a Ninja Turtle robbed a motel in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Very good.
Utah connection.
What more do we need to know about this story? Is there anything else?
Well, police are searching for a woman who dressed as a Ninja Turtle and robbed a Super 8 motel overnight. Lieutenant John Baker of the Unified Police Department.
We do like our police departments unified.
That's weird. I wonder what that means. I'll bet that's just like Salt Lake, Midvale, like it's all the South Salt Lake departments in one or something. I don't know what that means. Said the woman in her early to mid-20s, she was dressed in all green with black mask covering her eyes, wearing green face paint, looking like a ninja turtle. Said the woman walked into that hotel, pulled out a pocket knife, and demanded money from the clerk behind the reservation desk. The robber fled with some cash. The witnesses saw a car leaving the area. Quote, "We're unsure if she got caught in the car or left on foot," says Barker. He said no one was injured, and investigators are not sure how much money the robber got. They are checking surveillance video to get a clearer look at her. But yeah, they say she was in a Ninja Turtle outfit.
She got a big van that shoots pizzas out of a turret.
Yep. And a lot of cowabunga noises coming out of there. And
that's right.
There's a little rat at the wheel kind of driving the thing.
It's kind of crazy. A pocket knife.
Yeah. That seems less threatening than you'd
expect. It really does. Yes.
Expect. Anyway, there's that.
Right.
Let's see, over here in this news, you got a final episode. Oh, look at this. It's the final episode for Redbox Instant. Remember Redbox Instant Streaming?
Barely, yes.
Well, blinking, you might have missed it that Redbox even did this. The video streaming joint venture from Redbox, kiosk operator Outer Wall Incorporated, and Verizon Communications is set to shutter its doors at midnight Tuesday.
Tonight, yep.
Then again, it's easy to see why they may not have noticed this video streaming offering with the deluge of competition from kingpins like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and others. It probably didn't help their efforts because, you know, Netflix just killed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were also, you know, Netflix also had access to Netflix stuff. So it's not like they were exclusive to Redbox or anything. Redbox Instant via Verizon issued an email to its subscribers saying the service had not been as successful as either partner had hoped it would be, and they would be shutting down. The notice is always or was also buried with the help center section of the Instant Redbox website. Subscribers are expected to get information about refunds beginning on October 10th. And yeah, I never used it. I had the app on my, I want to say the PS4 has an app.
Mm-hmm. The Redbox Instant app. Yeah,
never installed it or anything.
I had it for about a month, tried it out. There was never anything on there that wasn't available, like you said, anywhere else. So, you know, why bother? The benefit of it was that you would get four physical rentals. Like if you know, all of a sudden said, oh, I want to see that. Let's learn a movie tonight.
Yep.
And rather than scrolling through Netflix or waiting for a disc from Netflix, you could go to the Redbox and you could usually, or you still can, that part's not going away, get something that's a little bit more current than what you can get from other places. So
yeah, subscribers, so it says here, receive 4 one-night DVD rental credits, so you could just use those credits. And then if you upgraded your $8 a month subscription to $9 a month, you could get Blu-ray rentals instead of DVDs. It's actually a pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like you're just overshadowed, like, you know, they got lucky with their weird kiosk idea, and that took off like crazy.
Yeah.
But to pop into the streaming business this late in the game,
that's a different thing entirely. Yeah. You can't really just say, we'll have success in this one because we had success in the other.
Yeah. That's one thing, you know, that's one really interesting thing about this whole new world of subscription stuff. We all love what Netflix and others are doing, but we've kind of forgotten that this is a much more limiting thing than, say, cable was. Because on cable, you got 500 channels for one chunk of subscription money. In this case, they're all asking you for your loyalty. They're all saying, hey, come give us 10, give us 10, give us 10. So even if you did, like, let's say you did 8 subscriptions for $80 a month, that may be equivalent to what you were paying for cable, and you're getting a lot more. People don't see the same value in it. You know, they don't see, they see enough stuff on Netflix, they're like, well, that's the only one we need then.
Right.
So they're not going to run out and do 10 more. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all, no.
So it's a weird thing to compete in. I don't know. It's interesting.
I wouldn't want to enter that space right now.
No.
I'll say that.
No, you'll get your ass handed to you on a plate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's less. Well, I don't know what you could offer that would make it.
Free silver injections.
Turn blue and watch a movie.
That's right.
Starring Jennifer Lopez.
If there's a promise I can make today, only one promise I can make on today's show would be this, that HelloFresh will not put silver in your food.
They will never put silver in your food.
Nope, but they'll send you really good food. Go to HelloFresh.com right now and get one of their fantastic recipes created by real chefs. They will send all the ingredients straight to your door, 100% farm fresh to your door. Like, ice bagged, and I mean, it's actually kind of insane what
it's
they do.
So well put together, like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's
and fantastic. You don't even pay for the shipping. Have I mentioned that? I should mention that. 30 minutes or less, you've got a meal to freaking brag to your friends about, and it's all because of your friends at HelloFresh.com. Now delivering anywhere in these United States. Use the code MorningStream at checkout for 50% off for all first time customers. We love these guys. You will too. That's HelloFresh.com. Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
The Poop Show. New episode out right now. Subscribe at frogpants.com/poop.
Boop. Did a big episode yesterday. It was a good one, I think. I'm really enjoying that show, and I'm glad it's doing well. People are
cool
glomming onto it. 20 episodes in. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, very good. Was yesterday's episode all about Shadow Mordor?
It was not. It was partially about that, but it was mostly, I can't remember now what the big main topic was. It was a bit about that. Oh, I know. The thing that keeps coming up over and over is my theory about why digital download versions of games are not dropping in price versus physical copies. And I think I'm onto something, and I'm actually okay with it. I feel good about it. But if people want to know more, go listen to that episode.
Yeah, there's that new Alien game that
Alien
comes out
Isolation.
Today.
Yeah.
Isolation, right. That is supposed to be pretty good.
People
actually
like it. The only complaint I've heard from anyone, most of the reviewers are saying that it's just too long. Like, it's 20 hours and it wears out its welcome. But
oh, wow.
But
well, stop playing it when you're tired of it.
Well, see, there you go.
Much better to have too much a game that's too long. It's like, you don't have to finish it.
Well,
it
depends, I think, on because the game is white knuckle all the time, terrifying.
Oh,
it's a true horror game. There's
it's
no
like
it's
Dead
not
Space
like,
kind of thing,
kind
right?
of, except even less actiony than Dead Space. It's more just super scary, intense. It's like the Alien 1 movie as opposed to 2.
Okay,
so think of it that way. So it's so if you think about it, if you're making an extra long game, that may not be the genre you want to do it in because you're being subjecting yourself to scariness for much too long.
Oh yeah, okay. You know, no, that doesn't sound appealing.
Now. Yeah. Now, if it was a shooter, just run around, kill stuff, or whatever, that might be different. But I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if I have. I don't have room for it right now. Mordor is amazing. I'm all in on that. Twin Peaks. You hear about this? Oh, Brian, this is exciting.
I did hear about this. This is really cool. This is
wrapped in plastic.
Yeah. Twin Peaks coming to Showtime next year. So finally, a cast of people I can hate because I don't like anyone on Showtime shows. Just kidding. next year, let's see. Or is it 2016? Yeah, 2016 is the premiere.
A couple years down the line.
Yeah, Twin Peaks ABC series was the forerunner of today's offbeat serialized cable dramas. In other words, it was kind of the grandfather to everything we enjoy now. It's coming back to life with 9 new episodes to air on Showtime in 2016. Series creator David Lynch and Mark Frost are working on scripts. Lynch is planning to direct all 9 episodes. That's a big deal to have David Lynch direct the entire effing thing. The episodes are now expected in early 2016, coincide with the 25th anniversary of the show's demise after 2 seasons with ABC. Do you think because it's on Showtime, they'll get more hardcore with the content?
Probably. I mean, they can, right? Mm-hmm. They can make this a little bit more like True Detective and Fargo and, you know, these
other
things.
More nudity, more violence, both? Like, what do you think, if you had to guess?
Probably. I mean, there was nudity, you know, in Fire Walk With Me. The movie, there was some nudity, so there'll probably be nudity in this. I mean, you know, David Lynch is he's no stranger to having nudity in his movies, so probably. But
sometimes
it also
he does weird things, like he made that weird lawnmower, old man on a lawnmower movie
that was
rated freaking G.
Yes, right.
So weird.
The Straight Story, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie, by the way.
I'm guessing it's going to be very... You know, like I said, Fargo-esque, True Detective-esque. I'm curious, and they don't say here, but if characters, if Kyle MacLachlan is going to somehow be part of this, or Mad Chinamik, or Log Lady, or probably not. If it's current day, right?
Yeah, it's going to be current day. This is what they say. They say the new episodes will be set in present day and continue storylines established in the second season. So they'll continue storylines from that.
It's funny. I don't remember any of the second season. Once they gave away who Bob was, and then they had the whole White King and the whole chessboard thing, and
then you were like, oh, okay.
I was like, okay, I think I've lost interest.
Freaking Eraserhead all of a sudden, this thing. Anyway, it will elaborate on plot details and characters from the old show will come into play. Let's see. I'm trying to read ahead here. For those followers of the show who felt bereft when the show ended, where did all those years go and what's going to happen from here? That's what we're going to do. So that's kind of exciting.
It's cool. They're going to rerun the episodes from the first 2 seasons leading up to the 2016 premiere. So if you don't have the DVDs, I don't know if they're streaming anywhere, but you can at least watch them, watch the first 2 seasons as you get up to the new current stuff. Yeah. Interesting.
Important to note, he said, I don't know why they said this here because we don't really need to know this, but they said all of the on-set craft services that they do, like all the sandwiches brought to set for the actors and the crew, of it.
Wrapped in plastic.
How are they stored?
It's all wrapped in plastic. Oh. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Keep them fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Well, hello, fresh. Drake, you know Drake.
I do know Drake.
He's a rapper man.
He's one of them rap people. He's a rapper.
Highly regarded rapper man.
Hip hopper.
He's big, I guess. I'm not into the Drake. I like hip hop, but I'm not.
How could you not love the Drake?
I'm just not into the Drake. I mean, it's not that I don't want to be. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Don't understand what's happening. I'm kind of, this is the big break for me in popular music because I've always kind of kept up, right? Mm-hmm. But where I've lost my way is the entirety of Jay-Z, his whole career, Kanye West's whole career, and all of Drake. I am completely out of that space. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. So when people are like, oh, it's the biggest tour of the year, they're the biggest stars of ever, they're the make the most money of whatever. And I look at it and go, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they do. They are complete strangers to me.
You could play their songs for me and be like, is that one T.I.?
There's a thing. I know he does a thing where he goes, hold up. Hold the phone. And then rap some more. That's all Drake I know about does? Drake. Yeah. Something about, okay. Hold on the phone. I got a phone.
I know he likes Sprite.
Oh, he's a big Sprite fan.
Because it was that commercial that they played before every single movie where he's sitting in the studio and he's just not finding the vibe. And then he opens a Sprite and drinks it and his whole head comes apart and reshuffles and pops back together.
That's right. He did an ad for them.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. All right. Well, Drake, good on you for whatever you're doing because I really don't know what it is. But anyway, he earned his 72nd appearance on Billboard's Hot 100, pushing him past the Beatles as the artist with the 8th greatest number of chart visits of all time.
Wow.
This is going to make you sad, though. He still hasn't beaten Glee. Do you want to know
who? Oh.
Here's the list as it currently stands today. And I don't know what this says about anything, but here it is. Number one, Glee, or the Glee cast is how it's credited.
Right. Oh,
207 visits to the charts.
207 songs that have appeared on the Billboard.
Yes. Top 100. Elvis Presley at number two with 149.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne, again, a guy I've got no connection to. Lil, I think he's little. I think his name is Wayne, and that's as much as I know about this guy.
He's the grill thing, right? He's got the grill.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know who it is. Is he small, or am I? Is that part just?
He has long hair. He was on The Apprentice. That Lil Wayne.
I never saw that either. I have just no connection to these people. I don't have any cultural connection to the music or anything. I mean, other than I loved me some. Like, give me some Wu-Tang Clan. Give me some freaking Public Enemy.
Sugar Hill Gang.
All those guys.
Run DMC.
Beastie Boys, whatever.
Your rap isn't like it used to be in the old days, Scott. Lil Wayne, what the hell is that? Throw on some Cool Moe D.
Yeah.
And I'm all over it.
Grandmaster Flash. Now that's where my money went.
By the way, I get comments and emails all the time about how much people love our old men voices.
Yeah. Oh, you've got it. Yours is spot on.
I feel like I'm channeling my future self when I do it.
Yeah. King of the old man voice.
Listen, rap.
Was that Lil Jon?
Back in my day, rap was about Adidas, not girls and drugs, you piece of shit. It was about shoes.
All right.
And put your pants on backwards.
So Katrina's correcting me that that's Lil Jon is who I'm thinking of, not Lil Wayne.
Oh. Okay. Okay. I guess. But I don't know. I don't know these people. All right. I am familiar with this guy. James Brown, 91
sure,
songs.
Sure, I know him.
Ha! Yeah, I feel good. Nope, that's not him. That's not him, is it? I feel good. I knew that I would now. Is that him? No, that's not him. Is that James Brown?
Yeah, that's I Feel Good. Yeah.
I feel good.
By the way, my buddy Cliff, former stand-up comedian and now warden at a prison in southern Colorado, I think. Talk about your
wow.
change of careers.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite jokes of his was, somebody asked me the other day if I liked rap music. And I said, the light turns green before I ever get to hear a full song.
That's a pretty good joke.
Yeah.
Wow. It's usually the other way you'd hear that story. He was a prison warden for years and then became a stand-up comedian.
Then became a stand-up comic. Yeah.
Man, the jokes he learned from being in the prison system,
He was a newspaper trainer for a while and then became stand-up comedian, then was a waiter in Glenwood Springs, and now is a warden in a prison in southern Colorado, I believe.
You know what? Hats off.
Yeah.
That guy's having experiences none of us will ever have.
Exactly.
I think that's great. All right. Jay-Z. I mentioned him before. Hey, it's Jay-Z. That's all I know about him. He has a voice like that. We're throwing down some sweet tracks with Jay-Z. That's all I know about him.
Nice.
He's married to somebody big, right? Like
Jay-Z?
Yeah, Jay-Z and
Beyonce.
Beyonce,
right?
That's it.
Yeah.
They're married. I don't know. I don't follow it. I really don't.
Now that part I know. That part I can keep up with.
Like a Beyonce record comes out and I'm like,
they're on tour. There's like some.
They're together on tour?
Yeah, they're together on tour.
Oh, jeez. That's fine. I don't care. I just don't care. I'm just not interested.
The first hour of the concert is really just them making out on a couch on stage.
Perfect. But... perfect. That's very nouveau. Ray Charles at number 6. Mm-hmm. Aretha Franklin at number 7. Now Drake. Mm-hmm. Hold up. Hold the phone. At number 8. And then Beatles at number 9. And then one more white guy at the bottom, Elton John, with 68, which I think is also his age. By the way, yeah, I would just like to note that we have come a long way in this country. Of the top 10 spots, look how many are African-American performers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're really having a racism problem over there anymore in the music business, I'm saying.
Music business, no,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, Elvis is still at number 2 on the backs of many black artists.
Yes, right.
But Glee, what the hell are you doing up there, Glee? You couldn't be more white.
Elvis, Beatles, Elton John, yeah.
Yeah, no. Who's the whitest of this group? Glee, totally.
Glee.
Then I'd put Elton John, then I'd probably put the Beatles after that.
Right.
Jay-Z at number 5. Hee-hee-hee-hee. I don't know anything else about him. He just talks like that. All right, tweakedaudio.com is sponsoring the show. If you want to listen to those top 10 artists and do it in style and do it with great sound, do it with Tweaked Audio earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off, a third off the price. And just know they're compatible. They're engineered to be have great noise reduction and durability. They sound great with music and talk. Get a lifetime warranty on it all and save money. Stream at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Fitness Geek will be here. Then jury duty. Then we're done. Brian, do you have music before all that?
I do.
Lovely.
So Kilgore emailed in, actually put this one up on the TMS song request page at tinyurl.com/TMS requests.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Dear Smash and Bros, last year my wife Katrina requested a cake cover to commemorate our 8th wedding anniversary, and Brian found a great cover of Frank Sinatra by Kodachrome. So thanks for that. I'd love it if you could help me return the love for our 9th anniversary on Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. That's tomorrow. Right. As we both live several hours away from our families, road trips have been a common occurrence during our time together. Up until recently, when our soon-to-be 4-year-old son started commandeering our radio, Queen's Greatest Hits was pretty much a staple of any trip home. She's a huge fan of both bluegrass and a cappella music, so I'd love it if you could play a cover of Queen's You're My Best Friend from either genre. Because of her, I'm happy at home, and she really is my best friend.
Oh,
happy at home. Thanks for all the awesome stuff you do for our for your community. Greg Schoenkopf Kilgore in the Tadpool.
Okay.
All right, so bluegrass or a cappella cover of You're My Best Friend. Well, I don't have that, so I'm going to play a death metal cover of of the Eagles.
All right, perfect.
No, I'm kidding. No. I do have a couple of a cappella versions of Queen's You're My Best Friend. That was a throwback to yesterday. That was a callback, folks, to yesterday.
Yeah, sure it was.
I do have a couple of a cappella versions of You're My Best Friend. This one is the better of the two, in my opinion. It's a cover by a group called Straight No Chaser. These guys are I think they started out as collegiate a cappella, but have become one of these like pillars in the a cappella industry or the a cappella genre. They were on that sing off show. I think they did well. They may have even won. very famous for their cover of Bad Romance. That was kind of the one that put them on the map on YouTube and got them some great exposure. On their 2010 album With a Twist, they included this great cover of Queen's You're My Best Friend. Here is Straight No Chaser.
Yeah, go. Here it is.
Ooh, you make me live. Ooh, you make me live. Whatever this world can give to me, it's you, you're all I see. All I see, and it's you. You're making me live now, mama. Ooh, you're making me live.
Ooh, you're the best friend that I ever had. I've been with you such a long time. You're my sunshine, and I want you to know that my feelings are true. I really love you. My best friend.
Ooh, you're making me live.
Oh, I've been wandering around, but still come back to you.
Still come back to you.
In rain or shine, you stood by me, mom. I'm happy at home.
making me laugh. Yeah, you're the first one who thinks you're not bad.
You know I'll never be lonely. You're my only one.
And I love the things, I really love the things that you do. Oh, you're my best friend.
Oh, da 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 da.
Best friend,
my 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 friend.
You can see better and feel better.
The Morning Stream. No matter what fortune cookies say, it is not better in bed.
That might be better in bed. I don't know.
Sure. Some people I've never done this show from bed, actually.
Yeah, see?
You never know.
You never know.
Just sent you a link from a listener, by the way.
Yeah.
And something probably we could look at, maybe even talk about on future.
Oh, the Simpsons thing. Is that it?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
It's like awesome. I love infographic stuff. So
yeah.
Cool.
The only graph of every episode and the rating for each episode.
Yeah.
Based on what, Metacritic, or what is it from?
It's IMDb.
IMDb.
Yeah, which is kind of my problem with it, is that it's not a bad thing, and I think it's probably generally, I mean, overall data tends to be accurate when you take huge numbers and put them together. But I, and I'm biased in this way, because I think The Simpsons has always been funny, and while they've had ups and downs, I feel like it's consistently good. That trend is also a reflection of internet angst. You know what I'm saying? So it isn't just
sure.
People making very honest, like non-biased opinions when they go and rate something. The
right.
internet tends to have a lot of people want to just go put the lowest number possible and skew numbers. So
skew everything off, yeah.
So right. You know, whatever. I think it's cool though. I love stuff like that. So we'll.
Would you like to guess? So if you graph Seinfeld,
yeah.
There are two episodes tied for the top spot. Would you like to guess which two episodes they are?
Yeah, it's one of them's the contest.
Yes, that is correct.
And the other would be, oh man, as the best, tied for the best.
Tied for the best with the contest at 9.5.
Oh my gosh, I can't think of another one that would be, I mean, they're all funny, but I can't think of one that stands out like, oh, Soup Nazi.
That's exactly right. Well done.
Look at me. All right. How did you do that, though? Do you just put another show in?
On that same page, there's graph another TV show. And so you can graph any TV show and say, all right, Battlestar Galactica. And this looks like the original. No, this is the new one.
I got the new one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see.
Highest rated episode would have been Revelations in the middle of season 4. But that's funny. It doesn't do season.
Well,
wasn't there season 5? Oh, no, there wasn't.
Exodus Part 2 as well, earlier in that season.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here's what's interesting. This indicates that it was higher rated at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most people, the consensus has always been that nobody likes season 4. So I don't know what to make of that. That's really, really interesting.
People might like it more than they think they like it.
Let's try Newhart. Oh, I love stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
I could look at these things all day. Okay, here we go. Newhart. Wow, look at Newhart. I don't know why I picked Newhart.
You should pick Sopranos and see if you're like on an upswing or on a...
Sopranos. Here we go. Oh, people do not like season 4, do they? Wow.
Whoa, holy cow.
What happened to season 4?
I think there are very few votes on this because they all do seem to fit kind of a solid line.
I'm really curious about that.
Like a straight line.
I mean, they got 1,200 votes.
Wow.
135,594
rankings. So that seems crazy that with that many ratings, there'd be that many episodes like all in a row, all rated exactly the same.
I don't know what to think about that. I'm not even to season 3 yet, but once I get to 4, I'm going to be nervous now. Like, how about Breaking Bad? Let's see. Breaking Bad.
Sorry, folks. Here's a link for you guys in the chat room.
Oh, wow. Breaking Bad enjoyed a consistent upswing. Pretty
just
much throughout the series.
Better and better.
Yeah,
no,
look at that.
Wow.
But their lowest rating is a 7.7. Their highest is a 100%.
Lost seemed to do the best in its third season. Well,
the Fly episode has its worst rating. It's still 7.7 out of 10. And I liked the Fly episode. I'm one of the few who thought that was great. I didn't have a problem with it.
Interesting.
Anyway, this is great. I'm going to play
I'm
with this
I'm surprised that
all day.
Expose was not the lowest rated Lost episode.
Oh, Lost. That's right.
Yeah.
Put Lost in there. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, it took an upturn in three.
Yeah, it did.
They all trended up except one. One trended down the entire season.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, people consider the episodes got worse over the first season, but on all the other ones.
This is really great. Under the dome.
But the third season, like, the episode started really low and then got up to the highest average.
Well, the Under the Dome did not ever do very well. That's too bad. Anyway, that's fascinating.
Yeah, this will be fun to look at.
I could play with that all day. But instead, I'll call Bill now. Because that's what we promised we'd do.
Yeah, we should do that, yeah.
You know, I mean...
It's in our contract.
It is. And because of that, we're bound legally to do it. As well as, I mean, I feel like a moral obligation as well. And I'm going to play a new theme for Bill. Like this one right here. How about this, right? How about this one?
Here's Milky, the marvelous milking cow.
All right. It's Milky, the marvelous milking cow. Bill Duran.
Great one for Bill.
Yes. How did you know that's what they called me in high school?
Well, word gets around, buddy. Eventually, everyone hears about everything. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Chin Beard, the fitness geek. He's here. It's Tuesday. Woo!
Yay!
Hey, you're wearing like a Gilligan hat. Oh, no, it's a hoodie. All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't, out of the corner of my eye, it looked like a Gilligan hat. Is that, do you know if the Gilligan hat has a real name, or am I just have decided that the Gilligan hat is always the Gilligan hat?
I guess you can't really call it a sailor hat. Yeah, fisherman's hat. Oh, yeah, because it hangs down as opposed to popping back up.
Because they like they put hooks and stuff in it, right? Is that what flies?
Yeah, something like that. Well, Bill, it's always good to have you here.
You just heard exactly everything I know about fishing. Just
wow, extensive knowledge. Impressive. Yeah. So, Bill, I sent you a thing the other day. I just wanted to touch on before you get going.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Found this link about eating with an overweight person will increase your chances of being overweight, according to a new study.
Right.
And this is our fitness segment, so what better place to put this?
Let's dive in.
The thing that this posits, it found that children eat more while sharing their meal than they do when they eat with strangers. That's one thing. So if a child normally eats with an overweight friend, they might consume as many as 300 calories more than their normal consumption. This amount of food is sufficient to make the child obese in the next couple of months. In a similar study, it was found that women will tend to eat 100 calories less in the company of an overweight pal. So that's weird. I don't know what we should make of that. But the idea overall of the study is that if you sat down with a rotund friend, you would, I guess, order more or eat more of what you bought? Like, I don't get.
Would you be compelled to... Right, that's the question. Like,
You have the option to eat as much as you want. The study, they gave them basically a buffet. And they said, you know, they didn't influence them in any way. But it wasn't like, let's say you go out to McDonald's. Like, let's say you and I go out to McDonald's every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm overweight. You may still consistently buy that Big Mac meal and consistently get the same amount of calories.
Right.
But if we went to, Oswego, New York, the Mid-China Buffet, where you can eat as much Chinese food as you want for $7, that might make a bigger difference. Because then you're like, well, I'm going to lunch with Bill. He's kind of a heavier guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to judge me if I go to the third or fourth plate of Chinese food.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So if it's a buffet, I wonder how much of it is time, too. Like, you know, if somebody is going to be having maybe a second plate or a third plate of stuff, if you're eating with them, you're like, well, I guess I'll get, you know, I'll go have another one of those egg rolls, or I'll go get some more fries or something like that.
Yeah.
It seems like basing the study on a buffet is, shifts the purpose or shifts the point of the study a little bit.
Right. Well, also, when they mentioned the children, if you're in charge of feeding your child and you give them exactly the amount of calories they should eat and when they ask for more, you say no, then they don't have the option to eat more. Mm. So I think a lot of it does kind of hinge on how much food is available.
Mm. Well, okay. So if I'm... Okay, the other day I was at Taco Bell with Nick because he wanted to go there, and I said, hey, lunch with the boy, good idea. We're going to go to lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we go to Taco Bell because he loves Taco Bell. He thinks it's the greatest thing in the history of ever. I'm trying to wean him off of that a little bit, whatever, we get there. So we're there, and there was this really loud pair of ladies behind us with a couple of kids each, and they were really loud and kind of annoying, and Nick and I couldn't really hear each other. We thought about moving, but we decided not to, but whatever. But I did notice this. This lady... Not one of them sat there the entire time and never went anywhere. But this one of these ladies kept getting up. And the reason we knew she was getting up is because her kid would scream when she walked away. But she kept getting up and going to the counter and reordering food, more food.
Wait, at a Taco Bell?
At a Taco Bell. We were inside. Huh. She went there three, maybe four times. I may not remember this exactly.
She's taking this fourth meal thing very literally.
Yeah.
She was it like one taco at a time?
No, it was like she came back. So I kind of paid attention after the second time. So I want to say the first time may have been a little bag of tacos or something. But the second time was a big freaking burrito supreme. The next time was one of those tostadas inside a burrito smashed flat. I forgot what it's called.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's what I hear those things are called. As I drive by Taco Bell, that seems to be what it says on the sign in the window.
I think that's it. And third time was a big drink refill that she got on her own, obviously, because you don't have to do that at the counter, but then some other bag of something. So it was this constant food, and they ate everything they ate, because by the time they left, they threw it all away. And they were there less time than us, but ate all that food quicker than we did.
Wow.
It occurs to me...
I never considered ordering more food. Even when I was really heavy, if I went out to eat, I was never like, waiter... Yeah. Bring more.
Bring more food, please.
Bring me a bucket.
Bring me a wafer. So, but the thing is, we were the part that bring my reason I bring this up at all isn't to like shame these people. I mean, whatever, it's each their own. But I bring it up because I wonder if the other lady would therefore eat more because this other person was clearly eating a lot more and was, you know, I mean, physically speaking, a pretty heavy set lady. Mm-hmm. Is it? I wonder if it's possible for friend. That day ate more than she would have had she just gone by herself with her kids or something. I don't know. It was weird.
I don't know. The interesting anecdote in my experience is that of my group of friends, because when I put on weight, it was all during college. Mm. And I had the same group of friends all the way through college. And I was the only one that got heavy. The rest of them were jerks and they stayed thin. And none of us were like super athletic or anything. It's just I was the one who was like, hey, you gonna finish that? Basically, I was the street sweeper for the whole table whenever we went out to eat.
Yeah.
Just ate everything.
Yeah.
But my... maybe because they have shame, but my friends were not impacted by me putting on weight. Their eating habits were not impacted at all.
Yeah. Well, and there really is something to do. There is something to say about just the way you eat when you're anywhere. And it occurred to me this weekend, again, I was with my daughter, my oldest, who just got married. They're back from the honeymoon. Life's kind of back to normal. And I noticed that she has always eaten like a bird. Just barely picks at it. Very slow. Like we're done 10 minutes. She takes an hour. To eat anything. She's just a slow eater. And she is thin as a rail, healthy thin, but thin, you know, keeping her shape, all this stuff. It's not even something she's trying to do. It's just the way she eats.
Right.
She eats crap, but she eats it slowly. Like, so she'll go to a Mexican place and get a bunch of food she knows she shouldn't eat, but she'll pick at it so slowly that it's like her metabolism just not storing it or something. But everybody else around her,
like the picking at it is burning off more calories than she's consuming.
Something, but I've heard this before that the slower you eat, the it's also your body's going, okay, I'm full because you're actually giving it time to tell you it's full instead of pounding it away or whatever. I have this opposite problem, where it's actually kind of double problem. I have a good metabolism, but I still have these old habits from when I was a kid and I was rail thin and I could eat anything I want. I could cut a cow in half and feast on it and I would be fine. And I can't do that anymore. And so I find myself eating like in a third the time it takes her to eat. And I think to myself, why can't I do that? So then I made an effort over the last few days. Scott, you're going to sit down and you're going to eat this. You're going to look at that food and you're going to go, okay, I'm going to pull a portion out of here that Kim made or whatever. It's going to be smaller than usual, and I'm going to be slow about this. I can't freaking do it.
It's tough. It really is.
I can't do it. I find myself just going, rah, 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 rah. I just have to eat it.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. My wife, Brittany, also thin, and she also eats very slowly. I mean, because I'm a monster when I eat. So I do the same thing, though. We'll sit down. We'll have a meal between us. We have the same exact portion size because we'll cook a meal and split it in half. Mm-hmm. But I'll sit there and I will deliberately wait for her to take a bite before I take a bite. And then I'll chew it for like 8 minutes, which is how long she takes, apparently. Because if not, then I wolf it down. And then I'm like, she calls me a golden retriever, where I look at like her food and I'm like, hey, you up there, you going to fish? And she'll be like, no, you ate yours, you pig.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you mean you just ate it really slow? I'm winning at food right now.
Right.
Don't you care that you lose at food every time we eat? Right. And she's like, she gets a little upset at me.
Well, it's just so annoying because you feel like we should be able to. It's really truly been an experience where I think I've got a better appreciation for people who can't stop drinking or can't stop taking drugs or can't stop doing whatever their vice is. Let's say you're a chronic gambler or something.
Yep. Right.
Sure. I think I finally kind of understand it, because up till now it's been easy to say, man, how could you even, why is that a thing you do to yourself?
Yep.
But then I can't even control something as simple as the pace at which I consume food or how much chewing I'm doing versus how many chunks of it I'm just swallowing unchewed. Like, those kinds of things are so difficult for me.
Yep.
I'll redouble my efforts from lunch to dinner. All right, tonight's the night. And I'll sit down and I'm like, all right, I'm going to really focus on this. 10 minutes later, I'm like, where did it all go? And how come half of it's on my face? Like,
well,
it's terrible.
Here's hoping that the company that we keep when we eat does have an impact, at least a little bit, because you don't want to shame the people who are getting up for a fourth meal at Taco Bell, but they should, I think, feel a little bit of shame, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if I was sitting around with my group of friends and we all went to Taco Bell and we all got like a combo meal, and then I was like, hey guys, I'm going to go up and get some more tacos. They would all probably be like, because they knew when I used to be Mr. Eating Face, man. Like, Bill, you sure you want to do that? And I'd be like, but I really want that Crunchwrap Supreme. I know that I would feel ashamed if I did that in front of my friends. That's me in my situation, but that would also be enough to keep me from making a terrible decision.
Right. No, I understand.
So let's hope that it does make an impact. I'm not sure if it does or not. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Also, on this link you sent me, this webpage,
yeah,
did you count how many advertisements there are?
way more than I would hope.
14. No joke, 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, if you have an ad blocker going, it's funny because the page becomes one of the most sparse pages you've ever seen.
That's what I've got going on. I'm looking at this in Chrome. And
But if you don't have that, it is Ad Central. It's great. They are still believers, man, that web ads are bringing in the cash. It's crazy.
Two different ads to reinvest your gold
or
give your gold away. But a lot of the ads, interesting and related note, a lot of the ads are controversial skinny pill sweeps the nation, or angry doctors call for skinny pill ban. And how did you lose so much weight so easily? It's crazy how that works.
It's all tied to word usage in the article, I'm guessing. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. It's all jewelry, selling your gold and diamonds, and I don't know why that's associated to overeating, but
you gotta get that money for food somehow, right? Sell that necklace and get another Crunchwrap.
Well, it's funny because this website, betawire.com, if you go to the front page and you have an ad blocker installed, it looks like someone has an unfinished WordPress template published. That's really weird. Yeah. That's an odd experience.
The other thing, too, is they have some articles like, how acidic is your body? Cut down on belly fat using the body acidity. When I see ads like that and I see web pages that are willing to put them on their website, they lose credibility to me right away.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's too bad.
So I don't know how legit BetaWire is, but the last line in the article, though, does say that the study has ruffled some feathers in the international community. They've admitted that the research is interesting, but will be viewed with suspicion for some time. So definitely don't take it as gospel.
Well, no, and all these things should be looked at as, you know, whatever. There's different levels of proof, different kinds of testing standards like that. You should always have that in mind when looking at any of these things. Nothing's ever definitive. If I believed everything I saw on TV, then I would think that, according to CNN yesterday, Ebola is the ISIS of biological contagions. Yeah. So the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I will never watch CNN again.
I think the president wants that Ebola something, over here.
Something we could take away from this, though, when we are out eating with a group of our friends, maybe pay attention to the eating habits of your friends. Yep. See how fast everyone eats. And then when you're eating too, here's a challenge. Be the last person to finish.
Yep.
You know, slowly chew all of your food. And by the way, if you don't chew your food really well, it's bad news on the other end.
It is bad news. It's one of the things my doctor said, hey, look, if you want to curb your stupid thing from recurring, hey, guess what? Chew your freaking food. And he's right. Yeah. He's totally right.
Be the last person to finish your meal at Taco Bell with your friends.
We can't be 12 forever.
Now, in a little more than a week, I'm going to be out in Vegas where I will be within the proximity of about 300,000 buffets.
Yeah.
And
chew slowly, Brian. Chew slowly.
I will chew slowly. But actually, I will be taking a lot of stuff into account. I'll kind of be watching and seeing what, you know.
It's a hard place to go and eat right. That's the problem with Vegas.
Yeah, and I usually don't like buffets. There's one in the Cosmopolitan that I do want to go to, and I will curb. I will watch. I will be cognizant.
Yeah. Ryan, this is what you do. Pick the skinniest person at the table.
Sit right by them.
But then when they go up to get a plate of food, you can get a plate of food.
Okay.
And get as much as them. Then when you sit down, if they don't finish their plate, don't finish yours.
I can't finish mine. I got to keep at their pace. All right, I'm in. I'm doing it.
The problem with those Vegas buffets is they're all $35 now or more, and you feel like a dork if you don't eat a ton.
Yeah.
Well, the one at the Wicked Spoon, I think, does it a lot better than the other places. So a lot of the other places, you've got the big metal trays that are filled with glop, and you just spoon it, ladle it onto your plate.
Sure.
The Wicked Spoon has like what I would consider tapas size proportions, or portions where you're getting these smaller, like instead of getting a big scoopful of rice, you've got like a little tiny pan of risotto. You just take the pan. It's like a little, almost like a maybe like an eighth of a cup or quarter cup. Mm-hmm. And then you go over here and they've got this. But what they do wrong is they've got a custom made mac and cheese station.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
They'll make mac and cheese to your liking. It's like, okay, stay away from that one.
That sounds so good though. Oh my gosh. Just coat my guts and cheese.
Abel just sent me a message. I'm going to bring deep fried cookie dough covered butter sticks to munch on when I get there.
Great. trying to see her tomorrow while she swings through. I'm gonna try to see her before she heads your way, and I'll give her some cookie dough or something to bring with her.
Yeah.
By the way, Brian, I just want to point out tapas is a word I hate, and I would appreciate it if you never said the word tapas again.
Because it sounds like topless?
I just hate the name of that. No, I wish it was topless. If you told me food was topless, I'd be excited. This sounds, it's just an annoying word, tapas. Ugh. It's annoying.
It's not like some made up word.
It's a real word. It just sucks. It's like doily or gymnasium. They need to go. Ugh, I hate him. I hate that word.
All right, okay.
Bill, anything else before we set you into the wild?
Sure. So every week I do a live stream. Sorry. He just came up a little bit.
That was awesome.
I do a live stream every week. You guys probably don't watch it because for some reason I scheduled it at the same time as TMS PM. But if anyone listening wants to watch that instead, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. I do this thing called Prop Live where I take people's questions about prop and costume making. And I just started a Patreon for that.
Oh.
Yep.
What's the address? Give them the address.
Patreon.com/punishedprops.
Oh, nice.
And the sad story is that with 8 people following the Patreon now, I make more money from that per month than I do from my YouTube ad revenue. So,
yes.
Hey.
YouTube ad revenue, the worst thing ever.
So this Patreon is a much, much better platform for me to actually make money with the video work that I do.
Well, that's great. Yeah, and it's all, of course, live on Thursdays, but archived on YouTube, so you can go catch it after the fact at youtube.com/punishprops. Is that right?
I'm going to have to watch the one of the YouTube ones because I'm going to be doing my Space Gun project here in a couple weeks. Definitely. And the colors, I finally figured out how I want to decorate it with like a the Star-Lord style of navy blue and silver.
I like that.
Scuffed up, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to model it kind of after those. So I'll have to watch your show and get some tips, get some ideas.
Sure. That's right, man.
Can ask questions and interact.
I can't ask any questions because I'm doing TMSPM. Wow. Hey, Scott, hold on 1 second. I'll be
hang on a minute, buddy. I got to go make a gun. All right. Well, it's always good to talk to you, Bill. I hope that your day is a much slower chew, and let's do this again next week.
All right.
I've done that twice now. You know, his mic was hot today.
It was a little on the hot side,
something, but it's all right. It's okay. We live how we live. We do what we have to do.
Exactly.
It isn't a problem. All right, I got to add, damn it. Why is Skype being funky? Okay, we're going to add Justin. Justin Robert Young, I believe, is in Oakland today. I don't know, actually, where he's at. He isn't...
we'll see when he pops up on camera what kind of studio he's in.
Right? He has not communicated it with me, but that's okay.
Sort of makeshift hotel room studio or some kind of news.
Something like that.
Studio.
Yeah, it's all good.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
Well, he means one thing, and that is that Justin Robert Young III, Esquire, is on the line with us. Hello, Justin.
Hi, friends. Hello. How are you?
We're fine. Hello. How are you, sir, friend? Where are you?
How hot is my mic? My mic
that is
hot.
That is a hotel room makeshift studio.
You sound great. You are not hot. You are perfect.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
My God, do you take a big enough suitcase?
Wait, you haven't even seen the big one.
Whoa.
How about that one?
Oh, jeez.
Anaconda don't.
Hold on a minute. I want to talk about that. Why are you... I figured you were a pack light guy. I don't know why I thought that. I guess you have a bunch of the work stuff you have to take around.
This is all Go Game stuff. That's a show.
That's right, because when you stayed here 20 or circa 2013 or 12, whatever it was, you had a pretty big bag then, and I think we had the same conversation. You had, like, jumpsuits in it and, like, all kinds of crap.
Yeah, the vast majority of it is, like, actual, like, equipment, like a projector and speaker and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then we got the cell phones and hot dog costumes and, I don't know, I sound like a Bill Cosby routine. Speakers and the hot dog costume.
I love how psycho your Cosby is. It's psycho. It's like crazy.
That's pretty much all of my impressions.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hey, by the way, I'm officially revoking your ghetto passes.
Okay, good. Good, because we don't deserve one. We don't deserve
ghetto
one.
Ghetto passes? Oh, from our hip hopper talk earlier?
Yeah.
And the fact that you said it, I'm now revoking your children's ghetto passes.
Look, okay, let me ask you this question then, because you've got your finger on the pulse of all things cultural.
That's me. Representative.
Representative.
Oh, this is yet another one of our our representations of black or female culture in which it's all white guys.
Well, let me ask you this. So I assume, and maybe incorrectly, that because of their superstar mainstream status now, that none of these names I mentioned earlier are taken seriously by hardcore hip hop fans. Is that not true? Are they have they broken through and now we do care about top 40 artists and suddenly, you know, the kids are into it?
Well, okay. So the reason why you don't know these people is not necessarily because you have lost touch on hip hop. It is just that we are less of a top 40 culture than we used to be.
Okay.
You know, top 40 doesn't matter nearly as much because radio has kind of lost its hegemony in, like, giving us a large cultural imprint for a very big successful artist. So there are still people that break through, but the reason why you're seeing far more contemporary artists in that singles designation on Billboard is because that's how an artist becomes successful now, is just the weight of their singles. You know, the album is basically like the greatest hits of the last 2 years for them, plus some other bonus stuff.
That's how Katy Perry does it. Her, it's a series of singles that are now an album.
Release, and then finally, like, here's the collection of everything I've released.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I mean, those things have shifted and stuff, but I just, I'm more talking about, like, what is the, like, everybody thought LL Cool J was cool until LL Cool J wasn't cool anymore, you know?
Oh, man.
The ladies always love Cool James.
No, LL Cool J. What I'm saying is...
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, well, said, yeah, that's what it stands for. LL Cool J stands for Ladies Love Cool James.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, once again.
Oh, my cred is slightly above.
Oh, 0.5. I wish I had Barrett's gavel. I would award points.
But I mean, okay, say what you're going to say, because I want to hear this out.
Number one, LL Cool J has... longer been a actor of however level that anybody would like to think about him than I think he has been known or relevant as a hip-hop artist. Are Drake, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, and Kanye West, who you'd mentioned earlier, relevant or thought of as the top of the game of hip-hop? Yes, in some capacity. Everybody recognizes all of them as very, very talented. Again, this is just my estimation and summation of how much I pay attention to that community. What, I mean, probably the people that you don't hear about as much in a top 40 sense are guys like ASAP Rocky or Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is probably the guy that will have a massive single in the next 2 years, and everybody will know Kendrick Lamar on a level that they don't quite know him now. He is like one breakout single away from being a Kanye West or a Drake or a Jay-Z.
But okay. I just I am willing to say this. I think that this is a lot more about me being getting to an age where I'm starting to not care as much. And I mean this about a lot of... Because as you were talking, I realized, well, wait, there are some other artists that I'm not into either that are super hot right now. Like, I could care two tickles about anything Rihanna makes. I don't care about
anything under her umbrella.
Ugh, any of that. I don't care about any of it. I don't like... there's nothing Kesha's doing that I have any interest in. There's nothing that... even once in a while, Katy Perry will make something that I think is kind of fun and listenable or whatever. Or she'll do some weird acoustic thing that I'll go, oh, listen to her. She's like, what's she doing with this pop garbage? She's got this whole other thing she can do. I think
She apparently talked about rock star cred. She had her own little rock star cred moment over the weekend. She went on college game day, right?
Yeah.
Like, totally trolled the LSU fan. Apparently, it is something I didn't know. I just knew that people were talking about it on Twitter, so I had to look it up. But apparently, other schools in the Southeastern Football Conference in college think that LSU fans smell like corn dogs. So, in picking against LSU during ESPN's college football morning show, she held up a plate of corn dogs and said, "LSU, we heard y'all were hungry."
oh man!
So, like, a pretty hilarious troll move. And then, like, vines to beat the band of her. She was in Ole Miss or Oxford, Mississippi, who upset Alabama, a very successful program. And so, of course, the town is going crazy, and Katy Perry is amongst the revelry, like chugging beers on top of bars and, you know, body surfing through the crowd of adoring 18 to 22 year olds.
Wow. Look at her.
Rockstar moment for young Miss Perry.
Yeah, no, I mean, and she does things. I don't know. I think she's kind of interesting and her career is interesting or whatever. But I just don't. I think I am finally to the point where the Ariana Grandes and the freaking I think the difference is because my dad hit a point in his life where he stopped caring, and his dad before him, and his dad before him when it came to music. I think I've hit that stage. I think the difference is I recognize it. I'm aware that I'm doing it, as opposed to my dad had no idea who Van Halen was and why I gave a shit who they were. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that yeah, there's certainly, I mean, I know that my music tastes are, you know, they were vibrant as a mosquito through my college years, and then like Jurassic Park style, the amber of time kind of engulfed it, and it has remained that kid who likes the Arcade Fire and the Decemberists, you know, for forevermore. And yeah, that's when I go to concerts, like the concerts that I've got excited to go to are for like Outkast, Weezer, and those kind of bands, you know, and the reason why is because I was into them in college, yeah, you know, yeah, and that's pretty much it. In terms of new stuff, you know, I think at some point we all kind of stop paying attention, and it's a lot easier to only focus on the stuff we want to now because of the internet.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's a yeah, huge part
we're
of
not,
it.
We're not limited to just what they decide to play us on radio, FM radio, and what we have in our own collection.
Sure, and it's a
which
bit,
has
it's
become
a, bit like,
a seven song playlist.
Yes,
by the
it
way,
really
regardless
has.
Regardless of genre.
It really has. I was going to say that's true. And it's also, but it's also, basically what you're saying is we're doing with our music and our entertainment what we're already doing online with our politics, for example. We get into echo chambers where everyone's talking about the same thing and everyone agrees with each other. And the minute someone doesn't, they get ostracized or outed. And that's not all that different than what Vivo channels you're listening or watching on YouTube, because you now have this option to zero in on what you want and nothing else.
Well, and it doesn't have to be mean. It doesn't have to be like, oh, you disagree, so I'll be mean to you, because certainly that happens. But also just naturally, if you find yourself in a string cheese incident message board or community and you don't like the string cheese incident, you will likely go find an Ariana Grande message board or YouTube channel or something. Like, yep, that's just what happens. There are only two options in society: string cheese incident or Ariana Grande. Right. Pick one.
You get to pick one.
It's the Ginger or Marianne choice.
Although I got to admit, I have a secret love of that stupid
also
song.
I think it's Grande.
It is Grande. Yeah,
we got our tween card revoked for doing this entire segment, right, and not calling her
fine
Ariana Grande.
Next time I'm at Taco Bell, I'm ordering the Ariana Grande combo meal, and everyone will be happy. Listen, here's what I want to say about music, though. Here we are talking about, you know, the cutting edge, the people that are 18 years old and performing today, right? Your yeah, Justin Bieber's and your whatevers.
Your One Directions.
Yeah. Your One Directions, all that. And that's the thing, is I don't want this to make it sound like, oh, Scott's just lost touch with hip-hop because he's an aging white idiot. It's also a lot of other white crap. Like, One Direction holds nothing for, zero for me. But I might could listen to I Want It That Way by the freaking Backstreet Boys occasionally. Is that who they did that? Hold on. Yeah, Backstreet Boys.
Yes, that was the Backstreet Boys, yeah.
But here we are in an era where Tony Bennett has got the number one album in the country with his duetty business with, what's her name over there? The Lady Gaga. Uh-huh. Whose music I kind of like, I'm not going to lie. She may arrive in an egg. But...
And that's what I was kind of looking for. All right, what's the current pop that you get behind? You know, besides the occasional Katy Perry stuff. But,
I like that one girl. We played her on the show like just a few days ago. You had a cover from her. Oh, crap. She does the, she's British, she's blonde, she's cute.
Oh, Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding, I think, is awesome.
Yeah, sure.
I think she's great. I think there's some cut above going on with her. So it's not like something new can't come out and can't be turned.
A great name for a British artist.
Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding. Like,
talk about a name that just works every element of that accent. Like, it sounds like her name should be like Helen Goulding, yeah, but they right, just say it like, oh no, I'm a fan of Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding.
She is definitely like a Harry Potter ancillary character, that name.
Right. Oh yeah. We have to get the Horcrux from Ellie Goulding.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So I'm trying to bring this around to last night, Tony Bennett singing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch of the, which game was this? The Giants and Nationals. And he screwed it up. And I haven't actually heard this yet. It's we're going to play it right now. So everyone listen up. We're going to hear Tony Bennett, venerable artist who I still like. And
American icon. Tony
yeah,
Bennett.
He's a legend, man. Guy's been here since before I was born, and he'll be here not much longer. But anyway, here is him doing stuff. Here you go. He's walking out, 88 years old, mind you. He has the look on his face like he's hoping that colostomy bag holds. He's got that kind of face. I'm just saying. He's making a face. That's
I mean,
all
that
saying
is a bandbox, man. AT&T Stadium is, you are on top of the action.
Yeah.
It is that's a terrifying thought for me as a fairly healthy 31-year-old man. At 88, I don't care how many Klieg lights you've stepped in front of. That is terrifying.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I would be worried about my colostomy bag, too, and I don't even have one. So here he is. He's going to sing, and let's see if we, I want to hear the screw-up everybody's talking about. So here we go.
Mr. Tony Bennett.
All right, this guy's hands is waving. Calm down, everybody.
God bless America.
All right.
Land that I love, stand beside her.
All right.
And guide her.
Doing great, Tony.
Through the night with a life from above.
With a life from above? I think that's wrong. Is that the wrong part?
I think that might be the wrong part. Right, light from above, right?
Oh, he says the ocean's bright with gold, he says, in the thing here. So here, let's keep...
From the mountains to the prairies.
Uh-oh.
To the ocean, bright with gold.
You made that up.
What's no, the actual- no, I think he just screwed up. Because it's the prairies bright with gold, right?
Oh, yeah, the prairies. He's just got his oceans and prairies mixed up. Yeah. That's what he did. Hey, when you're 88, good luck to you, man. I think he did great. He's fine. But everybody was melting on Twitter last night. Like, oh, Tony Bennett, I can't believe you. I'm like, really?
I mean, whatever. I mean, Tony Bennett, like, what do we expect from Tony Bennett? Like, I feel like we have unfair expectations for an 88-year-old crooner. This man was a contemporary. All of his friends are dead.
Yeah.
Everybody that he would share a bill with is dead, and yet he remains a relevant artist. Like, that.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
He screwed up God Bless America while he was in front of 25,000 drunk and high idiots screaming for the Giants. And by the way, you want to know who was there earlier in that game?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryant, whose yes chant the national or the Giants have co-opted. So he had to follow a professional wrestler riling up the crowd to chant yes, yes, yes over and over and over again.
Wow.
And then after they play the game out in the hot sun, Tony Bennett has to come out and he screws up one lyric. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Suck a D, everybody who has a problem with Tony Bennett.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's amazing and he's awesome. And I guess in the milieu of my bad attitude about current artists, I think the fact that this venerable legend of a dude who made my grandmother swoon is still just kicking A and taking names and is number one right now in album sales. And he deserves it, by the way. That album is great. It's really well done. And it's a great showcase for the fact that Lady Gaga can actually sing and not just show up somewhere in an egg. You know, she's still got it. She can sing. She can go toe to toe with the guy. I do.
It's good to know that at the age of 25, we are reminded that Lady Gaga still has it.
She's still got it. She hasn't lost it.
I guess originally had it. Like, she actually is talented and not just, you know, this isn't an auto-tune manufactured thing.
There's no Ariana Grande.
No.
Shots fired.
No. But, you know, Ariana Grande. Seriously, that sounds like a Taco Bell menu item. I can't go on with her name and take it seriously. Although her song is kind of nice and poppy, the one with the robot boobs. Anyway, Justin, now, go ahead, Brian.
I did throw a link in the Skype there. Now, a couple nights ago, we had, speaking of opening music.
Sorry.
Yes, opening music guffaws.
Yeah.
Or gaffes, I guess. Had a guy performing at the, Pentagon
V's games, whatever
V's
that is. V's
game. I don't know. It was on earlier this week. And,
it's a Canadian.
Here's
deal.
A guy singing O Canada as he's skating around the rink.
Yeah. And they're hockey dudes. So I assume this is some sort of, hockey.
It is a hockey thing. Game.
All right. So here we go. We'll play it now.
O Canada.
So yeah, he
trips right over the red carpet,
but he keeps going.
Keeps going.
All right, I keep playing it. Hold on.
That's amazing. That's
perseverance right there.
Wow, I gotta get. Let's get the fall one more time. Okay, here we go. It's because someone put carpet on the ice.
That's right. Yeah.
So he clips the carpet.
By the way, you're kind of sowing the seeds for your own defeat when you decide to skate around the ice. Because the reason why they put the carpet is so you can walk out to center ice in shoes, yeah. Sing your song, go back. And I get it, hot dog. You want to skate around. Right. But you have to understand that this is why you are falling.
You skate on carpet.
But the best part is, for me, the line he finished before tripping. So let's just one more time. Because it wasn't,
but he pops right back up. Also, like, he tripped on beat, right? It's yeah, not like right, he tripped right on like home. Oh! It was home and native land, which is the natural break. He yeah, trips and then is right back up for the next note. Yeah, he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, he has my respect. I'm not sure that absolutely, mullet's doing it for me, but otherwise, no. Good job, buddy. Way to go. Nice one,
well,
Ryan.
If you are not down with the mullet, then I'm going to revoke your Canuck card.
I like that revoke word because it sounds dirty.
Almost sounds.
Yeah, it sounds pretty dirty. So I was going to listen. I had a mullet. You guys may not believe this about me, and I'll produce pictures for proof. But I had a mullet that was a big curly one, and it went to the middle of my back at one point in my senior year of high school. So I was big on the mullet, but I am unsure. I am willing to say that it's cool if it comes back. I think that needs to end. I think we were good with it then. I think it was fine. Listen, I don't think we need to go back.
In the great true north, in many ways, the big boy never left. You know, it has been a staple of culture all throughout this time.
Wow. All right. Well, as usual, our time with Jerry is always well spent. I love these conversations, and I love where they end up, which is a weird curly mullet and how
from
Canada's got it right.
From hip-hop music to pop culture, like the state of pop, to mm-hmm, Tony Bennett to tripping on carpets and mullets.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so here, let me give you if you want some homework, just to reestablish your roots.
You're like Wendy. You're giving us homework.
As,
all right,
as we know that you are an old school hip hop head.
Yeah,
the both of you.
Yeah,
and Brian, I'm sure you've listened to mm-hmm, to these, but if for Jay-Z, the Black Album is probably mm-hmm, the album for which you would enjoy the most musically. It is I think probably his richest, and it is kind of I mean that
you know has a better Black Album though.
Metallica.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, continue. Smile
Tap.
Yeah, Smile Tap's also pretty good.
Smell the Glove.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Kanye West, I would say either his first album or listen to his first album. His first album is very much, he is an artist who is almost, as a Black kid from the suburbs, has very much, I think, made music for people in the suburbs in the same way that he has, you know, tried to represent a Black culture, which is always interesting.
Yeah, and I'm totally cool with that. I just think, shouldn't his fans have revolted when he married a Kardashian? You know?
All right, listen. How much do we want to really involve ourselves in the romantic decision makings of our friends? Because I got some friends that are marrying people that I straight out don't like. But like, what am I going to do? Yell and scream and revolt?
It's a good point. It's a good point. I just wonder. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that's what fan bases do. Like, it's only a matter of time before the true believers start rebelling in mass because something real dumb happens. But you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying it's just relationships.
The story with Bieber and his ilk is nobody revolts. Everyone just kind of gets older.
Yeah.
You know, and then starts liking other stuff instead of Justin Bieber.
Yeah. He's the gateway to proper music. I'm going to get heat for this, and I don't know why, because I really do hate it. I really do hate it. Anyway, sorry, I broke your thing.
So then Kendrick Lamar also. Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, M-A-A-D City. I think you would enjoy that album. It's a good album.
All right.
M-A-D-D City?
M-A-A-D City, I think.
Anything that gets me away from that blurred lines guy is a good thing. So
there we go. And it's another AB scenario. You have Robin Thicke or Kendrick Lamar. Pick one.
It's like a little checkbox on the internet. I know how this works.
Hey, real quick.
Yes. Go ahead.
So we got this year Patreon for the Night Attack. You see?
Yeah.
We have a patreon.com/nightattack.
Yeah.
And everybody supports us per episode, and that's really, really rad. It has been incredibly successful, and we thank everybody for it. But periodically, we like to give back, and we are going to do that this afternoon. So sign up for our Patreon. And again, you can give us 5 cents per episode, and that means you'll get charged sometime in 2029 for $5. But you will get this afternoon our Captain Morgan EP.
Wow.
For those who don't know, me and Brian have this character, this kind of George and Gracie kind of comedy duo, wherein Brian plays himself and I play Captain Morgan, a filthy, disgusting, brutal version of the rum bottle character.
Mm-hmm. If you've seen these guys in Entertacular, you've likely had a taste of this. Yes.
And so we did a whole album. Or a little EP, rather. It's like 16 tracks of just going back and forth with Captain Morgan stuff. If you've watched Night Attack over the summer, Spearmint Nitrate, who is a guy who's brilliant, has animated a bunch of them for our cold opens. But what we're releasing today is the full tracks that he edited from to make the animation. So the things that worked shorter for animations, it is far longer on the tracks. I think everybody will enjoy it. So go ahead on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/nightattack. And again, just a cent. Like, you're literally never going to get charged.
Yeah.
It's basically
free. It's crazy free. Crazy mad free is what that is. All right. Well, Justin, it's always fun, always a pleasure. And I hope that your week is filled with joy, happiness, and Kanye West aphorisms.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right. Hang up on Justin there. Too late. He already did.
Oh, he beat you to it this time. Finally.
He beat me to it.
Wow.
That's it, everybody. We're done. It's a long Tuesday show because that's what Tuesdays do. That's how they go.
Exactly. That's what happens.
Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Please follow us on Twitter at Coverville, at Scott Johnson, and at Morning Stream. You can also find our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS.
But don't follow me if you just want to talk to me about the song I played at the end of yesterday's show.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I want to make a point, though, about our Patreon. Those guys charge per episode, right?
Yeah.
We're dummies, and we charge per month for...
What are we thinking?
16 episodes.
We do 72 episodes a week on this show, and we could have been raking it in.
Yeah, we really were dumb, but that's okay.
Actually... Well, no, something we can talk about, though, with the page. Well, I'll let you finish. I'm going to let you finish.
Oh, man. Look at the connection we're making to Kanye West. No, I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I was just going to say it's a good deal. So patreon.com/TMS is a hell of a freaking deal. So you can help Justin out but and still help us and still be up on the deal. I mean, it's insane. So go there, patreon.com/TMS. Yes.
And here's what I was going to say about that. We are doing the Frog Pants trivia show. It is questions are being written as we speak. Big thanks to Tiny Brian, who's helping me out with that. And we're looking at doing it on a Thursday night, like during a TMS PM or as part of a TMS PM or in place of a TMS PM.
Yeah.
So we'll have announcements as to the actual date very soon. And people can sign up. This is kind of like a pilot program for the trivia show that we want to do if we get up to the level where it becomes a regular thing.
Yep, we're testing it out. So if you want to have a regular monthly trivia, I mean, we're thinking monthly. I mean, I think it seems right. Anything more than that will kill us.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. But whatever it ends up being, we really want to do it. It's part of our future unlocks, which we're getting dangerously close to. So if you guys want to go help us get there, patreon.com/TMS. Very good. I'm very excited about that.
I am too. It's going to be so fun. The stuff that I've got planned for this, I think, is going to be a blast.
All right. Tiny Brian, right? Tiny Brian.
Tiny Brian, yep.
Love that name.
Oh, and we keep forgetting to talk to Jury about he and Brushwood coming on our show and singing Endless Love, right? Isn't that the song?
The song. They had to come and sing the entire first verse and stanza.
And
chorus of, that's what I meant, of Endless Love, and they haven't done it yet. They think we've forgotten. Did they think we had forgotten?
Did they think we had forgotten?
Damn it, I was going to play that. Forgotten? Did they think? Here you go.
Did you think we had forgotten?
Putrus, man. Nice. Putricide. All right.
I like the heart music.
Yeah, what was that about? That's weird, isn't it?
It is. I've never noticed that.
That's really weird. All right. Anyway, so.
Something.
Oh, didn't mean to click that.
Yeah, you did.
Did I know? All right. So what are we doing here? Let's get out. Let's be done. Let's do a song. Right, and you've got music. So play the damn thing and let's get out of here.
Dan O'Brien wrote in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I'm looking to get a request for my wife to help her through the delivery of our first child. Her favorite artist is Ricky Martin, but if there are no covers of that, I know she would love something with Dan in it. Thanks, Dan."
Okay, favorite request of all time.
Obviously, if she's just getting through the delivery of their first child, she's had enough of stuff with Dan in it.
Nice. Nicely said. That is really funny. I love that. Just did anything with Dan in it. Thanks, Dan.
Right.
Brilliant.
So we're going to go with Livin' La Vida Loca.
Okay.
Cover of Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca. I can't think of any bad connections with this one and childbirth. This is by Lee Rocker, former Stray Cats guitarist Lee Rocker, who came out with a whole album called The Rocker Covers, called New Old Stock. His band is The Rocker Covers. Yeah. Came out in 2013. Really good album. Discovered it while I was doing a Stray Cats cover story a while back.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a uncovering a treasure trove of great music. On there, he does this great cover of Livin' La Vida Loca, takes it out of the style that you're familiar with and puts into something brand new and very cool. Here is The Rocker Covers and Livin' La Vida Loca.
Sweet. As long as it's not James Hung, I am good. Here is that song. We'll be back tomorrow with Tom, Nicole, and a regular Wednesday lineup. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you then.
Yeah. podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
You a damn fool.